Welcome to episode 3 of Sunflower Signals, where we explore the mystical community and offer a safe space for energy workers to share their stories. Today's guest is Megan from Magical Reawakening. You can find more information about Megan on her website at the ticker below. I met Megan at a psychic fair a couple of weeks ago. She's a wisdom teacher who specializes in tarot and has been reading for 9 years. It started as a personal practice, doing readings for herself and journaling the results, which helped activate her intuition and eventually led to 8 years of readings for others. There's a certain power and magic that comes with journaling. I've experienced it myself. Write down your thoughts and ideas, folks. You never know what might come from them. Thanks for joining me today, Megan. Was there a turning point or breakthrough moment in your spiritual journey that led you to tarot? How did this all begin for you?
Yeah, so for me, I grew up actually attending church with my family, and it was a great experience in the sense of it fostered a sense of reverence and feeling connected to something, but it wasn't always exactly right. Now, when I met my now husband, when we were dating, he had actually asked me about spirituality and church and all of that. And it actually started me down a path of researching other types of spirituality than just the Catholic Church. And so through him and through his family, who are a mix of different religions and have a very different background than what I grew up with, I was able to start kind of understanding different philosophies and different ways of approaching spirituality, rather than just Christianity, which was mind-blowing to me. It was something I never really experienced and never really understood previous to that. So it was really, really cool. And that's when I started kind of a meditation practice, and I started reading yogic texts, and I started understanding that we do have a lot of wisdom within us and that we can connect to our spiritual lineage and to our spiritual feelings and kind of understanding the universe through a different set of eyes, one that actually comes from within you rather than finding the answers from outside of you. And so that's when I started a meditative practice and I started journaling, like you mentioned at the intro there. And so with the journaling, what had happened was I would get to this point where if you've done journaling post-meditation, you're supposed to kind of just let it flow. It's now at a point where you've meditated, you've allowed things to kind of settle. And then the goal was to just let all of that flow out of me and just kind of write it. And I kept hitting a wall and it kept feeling like I wasn't getting what it was I was trying to get out. And I think that what had happened was logically my brain kept going, okay, that's good. That's a good stopping point. You don't need to go any farther. Let's not explore that deeper, right? And I recognized that block in myself and I said, I need something. I need something to get me through this. And so I started thinking about things that lit me up as a kid. And a lot of it was reading fantasy and witchcraft type books where the person realizes they have powers within them but they'd been sleeping on them, right? And then suddenly something profound happens and they're like, oh, I have this ability. And one of those things that pops up in those books can be tarot. And I was like, what about tarot? What if I pick up a deck? And so I did. And I bought myself a deck. I went with the classic Smith Rider-Waite deck because that's where the historical wisdom, I guess you could say, lies. And so I started learning through that. And I found when I added tarot into my journaling post-meditation, it gave me that extra little boost to get past that block I had. So where I had been stopping, now it was kind of a light that says, but what if you go in this direction? What if you look at what that card had to offer you and you write a little bit more? And so it got me through that hump of, nope, I'm going to stop right here. I don't want to know anymore. There's no more that needs to be known, to going, oh, okay, there is some more here. What can I do with that? Where can that go? And so that was really where my turning point was, from going, nope, here's my logic brain, this is where I'm stopping, into, oh, okay, there's more. There is that wisdom inside of me, and being able to really unlock it.
Do you think that that block was coming from a place of fear and the cards helped you to overcome that fear? Or?
Yeah, I think that that's a little bit very much a part of things, because there's this fear of like, oh, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do next. What's going on? How could I do that? And then the card's like, but what about this? And it gives you this, that little push of like, but do you really not know? Do you really not know what to do? Because I feel like the fear that holds us back sometimes is not necessarily the idea of like, oh, I can't do it, but it's more the, oh, I have the ability to do it, but then that makes me uncomfortable because now I have to potentially act on the thing that I actually know. And then that leads to a whole world of unknown, which is, you know, can be really frightening sometimes.
It's almost like blindly getting in a car and not knowing where you're going. But if you've got an atlas or a roadmap with you, it makes it a lot easier.
Exactly.
So how do you access your intuition and receive the messages during a reading? Do you feel like you're connecting with spirit on the other side, or is it all coming from within for you?
For me, when I say within, I definitely feel like that means that there's also an outside wisdom of spirit or the universe or guides helping foster that intuitiveness inside of me. It's still my own intuition because I'm tapping into the external knowledge. I'm tapping into what some might call the Akashic records, right? So there's a field of wisdom that I get to from within myself that is definitely intuitive. And then I know that over time I've been practicing more of like, oh, if I have guides, what kind of messages would they send me? How are they sending it to me? What does that look like? And so there has been a growth of connecting to guides, but it definitely feels like everything still flows through me and my wisdom because it's my filter to then share it out into the world for other people.
I love that. Would you be open to demonstrating a little bit of that wisdom field for the viewers right now?
I would love to do that. So I have my Smith Rider-Waite deck. This is my classic deck. There are so many options out there, but I really love this one because, like I said, the history behind it, there's so many symbols and so much thought that went into it. And so let's do a card. Do you have anything you want me to pull on?
Can you, what do you mean by that question?
Okay. So I find that when I have
an
intention or a question or something I'm really curious about, it makes it easier to get those messages because it's like, oh, this is the direction we're going with it versus, oh, this card could mean anything. Here's the card.
Okay. How about new beginnings?
New beginnings. So, I like
since,
it.
Since this is all pretty, I'm 14 months into this spiritual journey that I'm on, and this is episode 3 of the podcast. And first one was 9 months ago, but the second one I actually shot yesterday and we're shooting this one today. So the second one hasn't even been released yet. So this is all new for me.
Nice. Okay. Well, when it comes to new beginnings, the card that I pulled today is the Seven of Swords. Now the Seven of Swords, we've got two things we look at when we look at this, at least for myself as I go through. So we have the fact that it's swords and the fact that it's a seven. Now swords are all about your thoughts and the words that you say in the world. And then sevens tend to be about continuing the process, even when we're not sure if it's the right thing to be doing. Now, Seven of Swords, you see he has five swords in his arms and he's thinking about these other two. So when we're in these new beginnings, sometimes we start thinking about all of these other things that we can be doing. We're starting this podcast. Cool. I want to talk to all of the people. But then what if I also did this? And what if I did this? And what if I did that thing over there? And so in this new beginning, it's a reminder to focus on the things you're really excited about, those things that you've already started making moves on, and to not worry about the extras, because those extra things will have their time later. The time right now is to focus on what it is that really has been exciting and keeping you going. Now, I also have on the bottom of the deck, the King of Swords. Now, kings are about leadership at a broad level and getting your message out to everybody, and swords are about the thing you have to say. You can also see that, Don't mind me. I haven't spoken with a microphone in front of me in a while. Normally they're in my ears. With the King of Swords sitting behind him is the butterfly. And butterflies are all about transformation, right? And so using your words to help provide a transformation for people. So if we keep focused and not distracted, we're making our way to the King of Swords. We're getting that chance to be out there and sharing those messages that lead to transformation.
That is phenomenal. And just so you know, Melanie, I referred to her as my butterfly, and she is now a spirit guide for me. So the fact that she
sitting
would be
over your shoulder,
me, you know, and she's the sunflower signals. We're called sunflower signals because she has since nicknamed me her sunflower, and she's continuing to pollinate me with information. So it's almost like she's using me as a king to channel her message out into the world. So that was really cool and spot on. And I am highly impressed with that reading.
And that's what I love about tarot so much, is that it is this outside symbol. So I can show you the symbols, and I could probably have gotten that message in all sorts of different ways. But then having the cards in my hand as that ability to show you, okay, this is what's being shown up, and these are all the symbols that are on there. It gets that extra little like, oh, here's that visual reminder. Here is that map that I can follow.
And in the moment that you started talking about the king with the butterfly behind it, I get this sensation in my chakras. So it was Mel, you know, telling me like, you're on the right track, pay attention to what's happening here. That was really cool. What is the most profound reading that you've ever done? Obviously without breaking any client confidentiality, have you found yourself having someone reach back out to you and be like, you're never going to believe what happened to me?
I haven't had too much coming back after the fact yet. I know it'll happen. But I do find a lot of people get that confirmation while I'm talking about it. So we finish up the writing and they're like, you know, I've been telling myself that. I've been needing to hear it from someone else. I knew that, but hearing it from you means that I now get more clarity on it. I now am ready to make that move that I've been sitting on, knowing I needed to do that, and that this message really helped me remember why or how, or gave me it in a slightly different language. So now I know, yes, we're ready. This is the time to move forward. This is exactly what I was looking for. So my readings tend to be less predictive of like, oh, if you do this thing, this other thing's going to happen, and more like, hey, keep focused because it's going to be there for you as soon as you get through that next thing. And so it's that, oh yeah, I've been knowing that in my gut, but I haven't made those actions. And so it's more of those types of things. Or we'll go through a reading and suddenly tears will happen. And it's like, oh, are you okay? And they're like, oh, I've just been waiting to hear that message back. Right. So it's very much more of an in-person thing rather than a coming back. But I am looking forward to the day that I get someone sit back down with me and they go, you'll never happen. What happened in between this reading and the last reading? I can't wait to tell you about it.
I love that. Do you ever get any heavier messages that are difficult to talk about, or is it all pretty much love and light? And do you ever get any messages that are harder, or how do you deal with that?
There have definitely been some messages that come through a little bit more challenging. And when it's a challenging thing for somebody else, I find myself very much in that coaching type. Okay, this is what's coming up. Normally it's about communication. A lot of times when people are getting a tougher message, it's about they need to do something that feels challenging or feels tough. And so it's how to talk with them through that. So if the message is, hey, you need to stay focused, then normally some stuff comes through to help with the suggestion on how to do that. And so it's like, oh, you're really wanting this next big thing, and I see that for you, and I'm really excited for you to do that, but you got to dig down and actually put in the work. And if we don't put in the work, it's going to be really hard to get to that next thing. And so the heavy things that come through, it's not that it's light and love afterwards. It's more of that comforting, motherly guidance of, hey, sometimes when you say things like, I tell my kids they got to brush their teeth because their teeth are going to fall out of their head if they don't, right? And so for them, it's like, well, I don't want to do that thing. And it's like, well, these are the things that could happen if you don't do it, or this is going to continue eating you up inside if you don't take action on this. And so there, I do not believe that the world is pure love and light in the sense that we're here on this earth. And there's going to be those mixes. We came to earth to experience things like loss and trouble and feeling some difficulty. And it's finding the joy through those things and finding our way to travel through those things in a way that benefits us, but not ignoring them. We know that these things happen. We know that we feel pain. The tarot actually makes sure that we've got all sorts of mix of cards that are things that show up as challenges and things that show up as joy. And we have to figure out how to work with all of those things.
That's a beautiful response. Do you find that, you think most people that come to you for a tarot reading are pretty open to it? Do you find skepticism in the work? How do you navigate spiritual and cultural differences with insensitivities with your clients?
So that's kind of the fun thing about sitting at tarot fairs or psychic fairs, people who come. I have had someone sit down and not ask me questions. They just told me to pull the card. They thought about it and they're like, pull a card, pull a card, pull a card. And I did. I'm like, okay, I don't know if this is going anywhere. And they'd like sat there straight face the entire time and then got up and left. And I'm like, okay. And so I'm not sure how it impacted them, but they were respectful enough, even though it was just like not really interacting with me much. So maybe they got what they wanted out of it. I've had people sit down with me and not tell me I'm wrong, but tell me that that's not actually what's going on. But you can tell by the way that they're reacting to me that it is exactly what's going on. They just don't want it to be that way. So like people who have said that they're, you know, trying to move through something. I'm like, oh, well, to do that, you need to let go of this other thing that's going on. They're like, oh, I don't think so. I'm like, okay, that's fine. And so then it's like we talk about it a little bit. And then they're like, I think I'm going to go talk to somebody else. I'm like, that's totally fine. We're at a fair. There's lots of people you can talk to. So those are interesting people. And I try not to take any bother from them because you know what? I'm sure I've had times where I tell myself something, I read a tarot card, and I go, no, that's not it. Because that's our choice. Our choice is to say, oh no, I don't need this message after all, never mind. Even if it is very helpful, even if it is something that would be beneficial for us to do, right? Our comfort zone is really nice. It's nice to sit in that and not get bothered by it, right? And so those things have happened. But I also get people who've never had a tarot reading sit down at fairs. And those are fun interactions sometimes because it's like, they're like, whoa, where'd that come from? That's in my brain. What are you talking about? Or, oh, I knew I needed that. So those are also really fun because it's like people who've never experienced tarot before sit down and they're like, whoa, I can actually see that. And so there's definitely a good mix of what's going on. I know that I held myself back at the beginning when it came to really sharing my messages because I was worried that people would take offense to them or they would come in as skeptics or they would say something and kind of try to make it so that what I was saying wasn't valid. And over time, I've just gotten to the point where I know that I can listen to things people say and go, that's for me or that's not for me. And I can step away, but I know not everyone has that ability. So it's just more and more going, okay, it's okay. There are people who this isn't right for. There are people who they're not ready for this. There are people who just don't believe in it and everybody gets their own worldview. And we're just going to let them run by and not be bothered by it because this is what I'm getting from it. And so it's taken some time to get there. And I've definitely become more and more vocal over time about what I'm getting and why I'm getting it and how I'm getting it. So that's been helpful.
I think that there's something to be said for people that have blocks that are unwilling to recognize them, that may be, if you don't recognize why it is that you're struggling, because it's something that you don't want to admit to or accept within yourself, you're probably not going to ever find a way to get through that block. So it's interesting that you have people that know that they have things that they want to work through, but they're not willing to acknowledge the core root of the issue. They want to kind of sidestep it and work around it. That's pretty powerful to think about. I'm going to take you a little bit deeper now. How do you view the balance between fate and free will?
So for me, fate is one of those things that we have a path that is kind of what we are intended for. It's a map. It's a GPS. We know that we have a direction we want to be going. You could decide to take a detour and not get back on that road and just do something else. But that calling is still going to be one of those things that it keeps coming back, and you can choose to ignore it, or you can actually get back on the path and see, like, where is this going to go? And I think that when we are on the path, things feel easier, even if it's not necessarily an easier path to walk. It feels like it's more in flow and in alignment. And then you choose things along the way to help you get closer to your end goal. And so I think that is where the fate part of it lies, is the whole, this is where we'd like to go. This is where it feels good. This is where it feels in alignment. But free will says, you know what? I could get this thing in 6 months if I really tried to do XYZ thing, or I could take this detour, decide that I'm going to go live elsewhere for a little while. And then maybe I'll actually find my way back, and maybe I won't. And that's going to be on me to feel whether my body feels that in alignment or not. It's a lie. A lot of the times when I look at how I read my tarot, I don't necessarily like predictions as much for me when I read, because when I'm telling somebody like, hey, you can find the love of your life, but you need to do X, Y, Z thing, it makes way more sense than you're going to find your love of your life in the next year. Because what's preventing them from getting there is not necessarily the time. It's what's holding you back from finding that love. What are you not loving in yourself? What are you avoiding? What are you choosing not to do that's helping it with that delay? Versus, you know, oh, in the next year, you're going to find this thing. Well, but what if you don't do all the things to set yourself up to actually get that thing? And so for me, there's almost like a stair step approach of things where it's like, yes, you can get there, but let's also do those things to get you there. And so that's where I kind of feel that difference between fate and free will.
And do you ever think that there is, so let's say that your free will takes you way off the path that you're supposed to be on. Do you ever think that there's divine intervention that then will knock you back onto that path that you're supposed to be on?
I think there can be. I think there are definitely moments in life that suddenly shake things up. In the tarot, that's considered the Tower card. And so you've built up this whole life. You have a foundation that you, your values, and that's kind of what I consider the foundation. Then you build up this life on top of that foundation. And then eventually you probably realize that that is not actually where you want to be. And there are two ways that I think of the tower coming down. We either take it down ourselves, or something comes around and knocks it down for us. And that second one where it gets knocked down for us, that often is some sort of divine intervention, some side of outside chaos that we're not expecting that suddenly just wipes everything out. And now we're back at that baseline of like, oh, okay, this is the life I wanted. How do I actually build it back up and create it? And so that's one of those ways that I look at what might be considered a scary card in the tarot is like, hey, where is this of benefit to us? So again, not all just like love and light better, but hey, now that this has crumbled, what can we pick up and build from this space? And so, yeah, I definitely think there are times that like for me, when I moved out to California, it was because it was right after college. And I applied to jobs up and down California coast, or just the state of California, because that's where I wanted to live. I only got one interview. And I got a job offer from that one interview after applying to like 80 jobs. So that felt like a little bit of divine intervention, because it was like, oh, you want to be in California, fine, but you're going to be in this location. And when I was in that location, I ended up meeting my husband. I ended up growing. I ended up exploring a whole new things. Like, that location was a new catalyst for me, but it was the only one that was available out of all of the options up and down California if I wanted to follow that exact path to get there.
Yeah, it is interesting that sometimes we just need to start over from scratch in order to reach our highest potential, or maybe we get knocked down off the tower, which happened to me, and now I'm slowly building a brand new foundation. And sometimes our greatest lessons come from our biggest losses rather than our greatest wins. And that's something that I think that, like you said, that it can be terrifying, but that fear really shouldn't exist. You know, it's, you should have the courage to be able to tackle any scenario that is put in front of you. And yeah, the tower card, this is all new to me. So that's powerful. Last question, kind of before we sign off, the big question as to what are we doing here? The why? What do you personally believe our souls are doing here on Earth? And what do you think happens when we die?
So I think the why is to experience this, to be a part of this grand experiment that is Earth and living and being a human. There are things that we experience in this body that we could never experience as a soul, just because it's something different. Like I said, when I got into tarot, it was after I had started reading a lot of yogic texts. So a lot of talking about cycles of death and rebirth and coming back and experiencing the world as it is and being in the world, and really being a part of what's going on and being able to feel love in a different way and to feel separation in a different way. We feel separation when we're in this body because we feel like we are one person unto ourselves, even though we are very much connected to everybody and everything around us. But this body helps us feel that separation and helps us feel and understand what it means to be longing and to feel alone, so that we can then find that connection again and know that it exists within us and with, you know, those around us. So I think that's a really big part of why we're here. We're here to experience it, and we're here to also bring that love that we feel that is boundless throughout the universe, to actually experience it in this other way and then find a way to radiate that out to everybody in a way that helps provide community and support in those same feelings that we get when we're blissed out and actually tapped into the rest of ourselves, right? Or not our body self, but everything. And so over time, I have come to the feeling that once we die, we get that option to decide, like, hey, do we want to be back? Do we want to come back down and experience this again? Or do we want to stay as a guide, as source? Where is it that we want to be? Where do we feel like we're needed? And so I definitely think that there's a cycle to it all. And I do think that there is a choice in the matter of whether we're here or whether we're elsewhere. And it's taken me a little while to get to that point, but that's definitely where I am. And so I do think that that's how we can go to people like psychics and mediums and people who connect to lost loved ones, who they can actually tap into their spirits. And then we can actually take it if we choose to do that. We can find our way to do it. I think we're boundless with our abilities. It's just, how open are we to them?
So you don't think there's any scenario where the creator says, nah, he kicks you in the butt. He's like, you're going back. I don't care if you want to go back or not.
I think there might be a little bit of give and take where it's like, hey, you did a great job. How about you do some more? Or, hey, you missed out on this opportunity. Why not? But I do think there's a little bit of a choice of like, oh, you're right. And I think that we probably don't have as much reluctance to it when we're in that point of trying to figure it out versus while we're here, we're like, oh, this place again, it's so heavy.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Megan, is there anything else you want to share with our viewers before we sign off?
I don't think so. Thank you so much for having me on here. I love talking about tarot and all of this, and the connections we get. So I am so excited that you had me on here, and I wish you all the best and good luck with continuing Sunflower Signals. I'm really excited to see how far this project goes.
Thanks so much for being here, Megan, and all the best to you as you continue to share your magic with the world. For those of you who'd like to connect with Megan, you can do so through the Magical Reawakening website on the ticker below. And a big thank you to everyone who tuned into this episode of Sunflower Signals. If you enjoyed the show, please like, comment, or subscribe. It really helps us reach more listeners. And if you'd like to check out a sample of my book, One Year with My Soulmate, you can do so at the website below, sunflowersignals.com. May your day be filled with love, light, and a little bit of magic.